Mix up the order. Actually, we had another song, but we're going to do that right after my message. That way you don't all have to come back, and then we'll set up. So I thought it'd be more logistical this way. Although it changes how I'm going to start the sermon. That's okay. Actually, I don't even want to call this a sermon today. I'm glad all of you are here. I know we have some guests. So I have to kind of apologize a little bit because it's not really a sermon today. What I'm going to give you today is an observation. It's an observation. I think it's an important observation. So the question is, why church? Churches are struggling all across the nation. And I don't think I'm the only one that's ever asked this question. Has anybody out there ever said, you know, why are we doing church? Why are we doing? Now, I know the obvious because I sent an email out to my board and I said, what's the purpose of our church? And they all gave me great answers. Well, it's to connect us with God and Jesus and learn more about his ways and let us help other people. Those are all good answers. The problem is those answers are not ringing a bell with most of the people out there. And so there is a problem that exists. And what I'm trying to figure out, and Jackie and I, this is kind of a joint prayer that we've been working on together, is, you know, we come to church, we sing some songs, all good, shake hands, all good, sing a few more songs, hear a message, go home, and then repeat the process. We repeat, you know, basically, so, and what really made me start questioning about church in general was when I go out to a Stillwater nursing home or care facility in Meridian. I've been doing that for 6 years now. And I met with a lot of people who have been in church most of their life. Many of these people are 80, some in their 90s. And when I began talking with them, I found out that they couldn't really answer real basic questions about the Christian, why we're Christians and why we go to church. They didn't get it. So I said, you know, we've got a real problem that's happened here in America. So what I'm going to do is ask you a question, and some of you might have an answer. And it's, here's my question to every church. Where are we going? Like, would anybody say, oh, I know exactly. Where are we going? In other words, you get involved in a church, but my question is, where are we going? I see that as being a huge problem. No one knows. I mean, we know the routine. We know, well, whether it's out of obligation. And let me preface this, is I know some of you might disagree with what I'm going to say today, whatever. This is an observation. But it's about being positive, and I think you're going to see that as I move on. I'm going to compare church, those of you who read my blog, to a bus. I talked about a bus. And what I want to do is compare all churches to a bus. And in other words, people come to the bus on Sunday mornings, and mainly Sunday. There's sometimes other churches meet at different times. And they get on the bus. And all these buses are parked, you know, all over the town. And we want people to come and sit on our bus. And what happens is that you get on the bus, and then different buses play a little bit different songs. Different buses are decorated. Some buses are elaborate and immaculate. They got amazing lights. They've got a coffee bar. The seats are more comfortable. That's what they do. And essentially, there's a message. And then people get off the bus and go home. And hopefully, they'll come back and sit on our bus again the next week. And then we wonder why. How come we can't fill our bus? I see it as a problem. And the only thing that really changes is once in a while the bus driver changes. Now the bus still isn't going anywhere, or if it is, we don't know where it's going. But so when a new bus driver comes in, they say, well, I don't like the carpet. We'll change the carpet. Maybe we'll do a few things here. The music will change a little bit. But it's still a bus and it sits in the parking lot. Where are we going? And I believe this is a critical question to answer. And here's why. If we could have the first slide of, I think it's my... In Matthew it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But listen to this, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Now, when Jesus said that, he had already been crucified, had died, laid in a grave for 3 days, and had been resurrected. This is him saying, this is his resurrection message. This is what we call the Great Commission. This is the Great Commission. Now, what's interesting to me, when you read the New Testament and all, the four Gospels, in other words, about Jesus' life, the only thing he says about churches is all negative. Because he's mad at the current church, the Jewish faith. Because see, what happened is God gave the law, the Ten Commandments, and gave what God wanted was a relationship with his chosen people, the Israelites. That's what he wanted. If you obey me, there's going to be wonderful things happen to you, and they couldn't do it. And so what happened is man took those Ten Commandments and really changed them into like an IRS code that we have. There were so many laws and so many details that they focused on the law. They focused on their tradition. They focused on what they did in the service. It all became about that. And eventually God even said, you're wearing me out with your sacrifices. I don't even want to see them anymore. And the reason Jesus was mad at this was the system that God tried to set up. Man warped it. And the bottom line was, all God wanted was a relationship with his people. That's what he still wants. That's what he wants. He wants a relationship with people. So let me tell you what I think needs to happen. This is my opinion. This is my observation. The primary purpose of the church is twofold. We are here to expand the kingdom of God. That is fulfilling the Great Commission. Go out into the world and make disciples. In other words, expand God's kingdom. And you say, well, what is that? What is expanding God's kingdom? Well, you have to understand the definition of a kingdom. A kingdom is a group of people that agreed to be ruled by a king and obey his statutes and his rules and his commandments. That is Jesus Christ. That's what the Christian thing. We are trying to expand God's kingdom here on this earth. Why? Because the earth is suffering all over. Hungry people, destitute people. People who are angry, people who are starving to death, people who are poor. It's about changing people's hearts so that God's kingdom expands. That's number one. Number two is to demonstrate Jesus' love to a hurting world. And we do that individually. If we want to get people on our bus for the purpose of expanding God's kingdom and to demonstrate Jesus' love, his forgiveness and compassion, We need to let people know exactly where we are going. Would you get on a bus week after week after week if you didn't know where it was going? And I want to tell you, I'll take full responsibility as a leader of the church because I've been praying and praying, God, it has to be your plan. It has to be your leadership. Where are we going? See, I've been going out already because Jackie and I have been talking back and forth. We're getting Corey Kuba and we're getting Joe Newman, the two presidents together, and we want to expand this committee. We're trying to figure out why God put these two groups together. I'm going to tell you, it's to expand God's kingdom. And it's to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ. And it is to fill our bus, but the point you have to understand, here's where modern churches today have lost their way, I believe. If you get involved in any church system, I'll bet every pastor, and you should never use the word every, but I bet most pastors would say the objective is we want our churches full. But why? Why do you want your churches full? See, they've got the wrong objective and end. The real reason that the church is important is not necessarily to fill our pews. See, that's like the final, that's the end game for them. But they're still not going anywhere. No, the reason we want to reach more and more people is strictly to enhance God, to expand God's kingdom, whether they fill our pews or not. Some people might say, wait a minute, aren't we a friendly church? Aren't we teaching God's word? Aren't we reaching people? Well, Yes, but I believe if we're going to fill the commission, we have to change. Let me show me the next slide up there. This is a 2014 census. I want you to see something. I rounded the numbers. And they're probably more than this now. Edwardsville has 25,000 people. Glen Carbon has 13,000. Now, I know we have some people here. Jeff and Christine Wiles, they come from Granite City. Lori, she comes all the way from Godfrey. Some of you others are probably outside this area. But basically, there's about 38,000 to 40,000 people in our area. I have no idea how many of those people are showing up and getting on a bus every Sunday, but I'm going to tell you what, I bet it's not even half. I bet it's about a third of those people. Which tells me there is a whole bunch of people out there, 20,000 people at least, that are not connected to God's, any type of God's kingdom expansion project. I'll call it that. So the first thing that I see is if we know where we're going is, wouldn't it be wonderful if our goal was to expand God's kingdom into 10% of that population? That's 3,800 people. There is a plan developing. You're all part of this plan. But if that happens, I want you guys to think of something. When this church is full to the brim with chairs added over there, and Jackie and I are already talking about doing that, it's about, Gary, what, 250 people? Packed? And if our intention is to expand and we're looking at 3,800 people, what does that say in your heart? I want you to have feelings during this. What is that saying to you? We have a church that fits 250 people and we're after maybe 10%. 3,800 people. And I'm going to explain some things to you in a minute. The reason I ask what does that feel like is because I know there are some people who say, well, I will never, ever leave this building, ever. So you have to ask in your heart, what's the most important thing? Pleasing ourselves or expanding the kingdom of God? And I will tell you that many churches get stuck in the rut of pleasing themselves. In other words, they're not going to accept any type of change. What is the most important thing? I'm not going to tell you what's most important to you, but I'm saying if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, we got to look outside these walls and figure out what are the possibilities. How will it look? Well, oh, and by the way, in that 38,000 people, there are currently 33 buses parked in parking lots, churches. 33 churches all wanting to fill their seats. And I would bet if 98% of them, if you went in there and said, where are you going, they couldn't answer it. They might have an answer, well, we want to reach people for God. Okay, that's good. How are you going to do it? Well, we're going to have a great band, and we're going to serve great coffee and donuts, and we're going to have our friends try to invite people there. And how's that working out for you? Because most churches today have the same format, you know, through the years. Things have slowly changed. We have traditional services. We have contemporary services. And we're wondering, but what we want to do is we want to fill our buses. But we have to say, why do we want to fill our buses? The whole point is to connect people with the love of Jesus Christ. Here's what I know. Jesus changed my life. I'm excited about it. I can sit and talk with people all day long and give you story after story after story of why it's important that you connect with God. Because Jesus changed me. And because of those changes, my life has gotten infinitely better. It doesn't solve all your problems, but allows you to look at problems way differently. It gives you a whole new outlook on life. So, what would it look like? Imagine a big target. A big target. You know, it's got circles, and then there's a little thinner circle, and in the middle, there's the bullseye. The 38,000 people are out on the rim. It's just people out in the world. But they are part of the target. They're the outward ones. They're the ones we will go after and try to reach through using multimedia. See, I'm already talking to the millennials, the 25 to 35, 40-year-olds. We need young people. We need young families. We need families with kids. But we're not going to, they will not come to the typical, where you, they want to know where you're going, what are you doing, what stops are you going to make, how are you going to get there. Tell me all about this bus trip. You want me to get involved? They want to get involved in something vital and something important. They want something. You've got to have a brochure that says, no, this is what happens. You do this, you do this, this is where we're going. Now, what it'll do is it'll eliminate some people, but that's okay. We're after a group of people to bring them into the funnel. Again, the final destination is always so they connect with Jesus Christ and their life changes. The more people that we can bring into the kingdom of God who are committed not to the church, this particular church, but to the kingdom of God, it's better for all of us. I will tell you, when you read the news and you see somebody that, somebody has raped somebody, robbed somebody, killed somebody, all this stuff going on, if their hearts were connected to Jesus, it wouldn't happen. That's why it's important. People that have a mission get excited and can do things that are just amazing. Take me to the next slide. Bonnie has been, her company's been working with the Shriners Hospitals. It's kind of a crazy story, but I'm going to use it because I'm going to tell you what happens when you get a vision and what can happen. Here you got Shriners. I wish Chuck were here. I'm sure he's here with us, but are there any Shriners here? Okay, good. Then I can talk freer. I had to be careful. Hey, Shriners are a crazy bunch of dudes. You know, they all started as a bunch of guys getting together, drink beer, and have a party. I mean, it was a club. It was, you know, they got all these weird handshakes and all this. I don't know. I've never been a Shriner. My grandfather was a Shriner. But, the temples and all this stuff. Forget all the side. It was a bunch of crazy old dudes that loved to drink and party. That was basically it. But they decided, they got a vision. They got a vision. And the vision was, I'm sure they were sitting around barring it some night and said, we should do something. Let's have an impact in this world. And they decided that let's help kids. Be like me and you sitting in a bar of Pelagians going, yeah, what do you want to do? I don't know, what do you want to do? Of course, we'd never get anywhere. We'd still be talking about it because you're an engineer. Engineers think about things. They don't necessarily do things. My brother's an engineer. Is that right? If you want a project, don't get an engineer involved. It's going to slow down tremendously. My brother asked me to landscape his yard 12 years ago. I said, sure. I used to own a landscape company. Go buy his house. To this day, there's no landscaping done. He's still engineering it. I said, I'm out now because I can't do it. My back's shot. So anyway, we went to Tampa to interview the Shriners Hospitals. Now, the Shriners Hospital is actually separate from the Shriners now, but they're the ones that got this going. And it was an idea. And what they had, the vision was, they knew where they were going. They knew what stops they'd make. They had a plan that they, in other words, when people came to their organization and said, look, here's the deal. We have a lot of fun. We party. We do all this stuff. But we're committed to these kids. And I took a picture of their mission statement when we were down in Tampa. And it says this. We are to provide the highest quality care to children with neuromusculoskeletal conditions, burn injuries, or other special health care needs with a compassionate, family-centered, and collaborative care environment. Next. Provide for the education of the physicians, other healthcare professionals, conduct research to discover new knowledge that improves the quality of care and the quality of life of children and families. This mission is to be carried out without regard to race, color, creed, sex, or sect, or ability of a patient or a family to pay. That was huge. What's the next one? Oh, okay. Take that off a minute. So what amazed me about that is they've accomplished it. The Shriners Hospitals, see, we've been interviewing the patients and the doctors and the people that work there. It is the most amazing place. These kids can come in, and I don't care what it takes. The doctors love working there. They love it because they're not restricted by insurance guidelines. In other words, they can go in and do anything it takes to make a child better. And the doctors love the place. How many billions do they have set aside? $9 billion endowment. $9 billion. Started with a couple drunk guys with a fez. I don't even know if they believed in God. Maybe they did. It says they believe in God. That's another one of their slides. It says they do. But, I've heard some other crazy stories about them. But look, we're all crazy. What the point is, they knew where their bus was going and they accomplished it. It's tremendous. And so now millions of kids are being helped that otherwise, if they got stuck in the regular traditional medical system with the insurance laws and this and that, and Carrie can tell you all about that, it becomes a quagmire. They can go to Shriners Hospital. They'll get the best of the best of the best of the best. They don't care what it costs. They'll work with a kid for months. The bills could be, it doesn't matter. It's about that child being fixed up. We had a couple in our house yesterday because they're filming. So it gives the kids hope. And that's what Christianity's out. Now let's do the next slide. So this is from Proverbs. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. What we are attempting to do, Jackie and I and the board, and here's the deal. Every one of you, you know I was talking about that target? We got people way on the outside. And the object is to move them towards the center. Well, what is the center? A lot of churches would say, well, the center would be when they join our church. That's really not, it should not be the bottom line. Our goal is to reach out into the community, get people connected, to start a conversation about how God can change your life. And I wrote down some ideas, especially for the younger. You know, if we get on the, use social media, I'm thinking about doing these miniature vignettes, Jack and I, about how to have more fulfilling marriage. Finding peace when your world seems like it's falling apart. Things to think about before you get married. Life after death of a loved one. Getting the upper hand on finding a job. Why am I so unfulfilled? So if these are important questions, these, and I'm interviewing more and more younger people, why aren't you in church? What do you need? What do you need in your life? And we start connecting with them, and then we start having special little classes or whatever. The object is to move them from the outer ring of just being out there in the world to the next level is we've got a conversation with them, and eventually from the conversation we move them into, hey, I think that Jesus might be the right answer. And eventually when they get in the middle of the target, they're saying, you know what, I'm ready to turn my life over to Jesus Christ. And the final, there's this pinpoint in the middle of the red circle. The bullseye even has a pinpoint. And that is when they continue on with God until they hit that pinpoint right in the middle. And not many, well, I'm going to say no one's done it except Jesus. But just get to close to the pinpoint as you can. Is when you find yourself directly dead smack in the center of God's will for your life. That is the point. But we are going to have to redesign how we go out in the community to get people on the bus, and the reason is not necessarily for them to join the church, although I will tell you, if you've helped people connect with God, they're probably going to hang around, because what we need is the core, and there's a core right here. Most of you right here are the core, the center. We need each and every one of you to help with this mission. The bus will have an itinerary and a destination. And the destination is strictly to get people, we pick them up. We pick them up in life's journey, and we bring them along, and we move them from the target towards the center until they can connect with Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Let's have the choir and the band come up here. So why church? Well, I'm going to tell you something other than what I said is the reason we want to stay in a group and meet as a group is because of talents and abilities and assets that we can go out and impact the world. One Shriner could not have done the $9 billion endowment fund that keeps the Shriners Hospitals, this amazing organization, going. They couldn't have done it. But when a group of people come together, committed with all your different talents, all your different resources that you have, your knowledge, your love, your love, your connection with Jesus Christ, that is what we need to do to get out in the world, because the whole point is not being here socializing. It is about connecting people to Jesus Christ. And what we'll find, I know in my heart, if you find people that are moving towards the center, they're going to want to be here and be part of this social organization. So when we sing our songs, it truly is a joyful time to worship, because you know that God has set you free. Amen. Father, please anoint this message so people understand. It's about you, your kingdom, expanding your kingdom. Help us as we come together and decide what our journey is going to look like. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, next Saturday, 10 a.m., Glick Park, we're going to continue this conversation. It's going to be more of a social event, but I'm going to have some things for you to get. Sunday. Next Sunday at 10 a.m., Glick Park. We're going to put our heads together and decide how we're going to...